Thank you, Cheryl. Hey, everybody. Happy Wednesday. I'm going to start. Hey, girly. I am going to start with a song. So here we go. My brother, Darryl Price and Shakur Cameron.
Tells me who I am, that I'm like you, the truth about myself. When I look back at where I've been, the dream it seems to be, and desolation was all around. Was the only thing that I could see. But I thought you were another on a path of love from mine. Then I raised my head and looked into your eyes. And the love that's all you are and all you've ever been just reaches out. So many roads we've all walked down, seeming to go nowhere, all came together in the end. And what a way that takes us out of here. I wonder. Until I opened up my eyes and finally I saw you there. But I thought you were another on a path apart from mine. Then I raised my head and looked into your eyes. The love that's all you are and all you've ever been just reaches out to me and takes me home again. Is none other than myself, and no one will be left behind. But I thought you were another on a path apart from mine. And I raised my head and looked into your eyes. And the love that's all you are and all you've ever been just reaches out to me and takes me home again.
Okay. Lovely song. I will mention that I'll mention that Regina's here. Hey, Regina.
Hey, everyone.
I was thinking that while that song was playing, at least I came across that song when I was fully immersed in A Course in Miracles. You know, it's interesting because I have heard, and I'm trying to think, maybe it was my dad and I that had the discussion about A Course in Miracles being a relationship-centered approach to awakening, and that it was structured in that way because that's where Helen and Bill were at, right? It was all through this relationship that the light began to shine, and that was their approach. And I think that I had the conversation with Dad about when we began looking at Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament. Well, where's the whole relationship thing? Well, you know, there's a whole book on that. It's called A Course in Miracles. So it's interesting to now have Regina showing us where the relationship stuff is in NTI. And certainly as she wrote it, she was getting that. Were the Thoughts of Awakening concurrent with NTI?
The Thoughts of Awakening, so I started writing NTI first. Probably about halfway through it, the Thoughts of Awakening started coming, and then they, after NTI was done, they continued. So there was a little overlap.
Okay, all right, yeah. So, but it's certainly clear in these these Thoughts of Awakening.
What's funny is they weren't written to go with your daily readings. Like there was no, but yet
they're perfect.
They're perfect. So you know that's just it's just fun for me to even see that because they had nothing to do with each other when they originally came.
Yeah.
Those readings and those thoughts. Yeah.
So funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. So perfect. I mean. yeah. What is so beautiful is how perfect they are. Cheryl says. I guess I'm sorry for scrambling on here a little bit, but I'm just going to start with my journal. I don't know whether to start with where I started journaling or what we've been talking about. So actually what I feel as I have killed that time babbling is this is to start with today's message. And I know Ann covered this, and Kathy may have covered this. Kathy, I missed your teaching. Regina and I were doing some work, so I may repeat everything you said. but let me read the Thought of Awakening for today again. The individual self is an illusion because the idea of individual self says that there is a me who stands apart from you. It does not see that the experience itself comes from one creation. Creation and creator are one because the process of creation is creator, and creation cannot be apart from the process. This need not be understood, but it must be accepted if one is to see why or how to love his brother as his self. And before I tell you what Inner Wisdom had to say about that, I want to say a couple things. One is, when I searched for, I've been journaling on the computer, and when I searched in the search bar on the computer this morning for the word journal, what came up was an excerpt from MPP, True Discernment. I think it's True Discernment, called Unconditional Follow Through and Journaling, which I thought was, you know, I always get what I need to help me take whatever the next step is. And so it was really, really sweet to have that message saying, yeah, go on, journal, and here's what to keep in mind while you journal. Regina says, in this excerpt from her Unconditional Follow-Through, Unconditional Follow-Through and Journaling, she said, one thing I'd like to recommend about journaling is that we bring inquiry into our journaling. You know, you just don't write down everything that happened to you during the day. And just talked about what you want to do in journaling is you want to bring inquiry into your journaling. What that means is you want to look at the thoughts and question them, and we're familiar with that. But it was just a nice encouragement to you know, I mentioned, you know, last night, I guess, teaching NTI, that I had not been journaling on a regular basis since I had gotten back from my vacation. And I'm going, what's wrong? Something feels different. Well, maybe that's it. So it was nice to get encouragement. And I was really touched by, and I don't remember who sharing it was last night, or even, frankly, now, what they said about journaling. Gosh. I can't remember it, but it was also encouraging, you know. So it's just real sweet to get those encouragement from all quarters someone was talking about, you know, I think it was Joanne, about being afraid to journal when they didn't know the answer because, and Regina talked about her experience with that, because if you don't know the answer and, you know, you're the only one really answering the questions, nothing's going to come and that sort of thing. And, of course, Regina said that that her experience was that's the best time to ask questions is when you don't know what the answer is. So you're open to whatever the answer will be. So, having said
that, yes, that's when you know you're connected to something real. Because if you think you know the answer and then you write, you think, oh, that just came from me. But if you know you don't know the answer and something comes that brings clarity, then you know that came from beyond you.
Yeah, thank you. So I wrote, after reading today's Thought of Awakening, I asked, how do I see myself as separate from others? And this is what came. The idea that there is a path, a journey, steps toward enlightenment is sometimes used by you as justification for practicing thoughts of separation. You use this concept as a means of distinguishing yourself from others. The process you use to practice separation is effective in teaching yourself separation, whether you are found ahead of or behind others on the path. One of the ways to see how you use this concept to further delude yourself is to see that your place on the path and the place of others is not static. You manipulate your perception of others and the value of what they relate state about their experiences to comport with your assessment of your own progress at any given point in time. So let me give you a little bit of background, and that is, and I got to tell you, this is hard to say in front of my mighty companions, my fellow teachers, but sometimes I will hear people speak and go, oh my God, are they clueless? You know, are they missing the boat? Or, that's a nice bridge thought for them, right? I mean, and again, it's hard to say this to you guys because I wouldn't want you to think that I ever thought that. But sometimes I do. And so I'm like, oh, they misquoted that, or they forgot this part of that. So I find myself picking apart what they're saying, and I'm so busy doing that that I can't hear what's being said. And so I'll, for example, say to Regina, well, did you hear so-and-so speak? And what'd you think? And she's like, oh, my God, it was great. It was brilliant. I'm like, really? Because I missed it. Well, and why did I miss it? I missed it because I was participating in this comparison. And you know, whether they missed it or not, and in most cases the answer is not, I missed it. And I missed it because that's where my focus is. And my focus is on the what makes us separate, not what makes us the same. You know, and I know I heard Ann talking about the challenge that, or the exercise that Connie gave last night after NTI, about practicing seeing the sameness. And I have recognized this. I have seen myself do this with other teachers. Well, in fact, you know what? A great example is Rick Archer with Buddha at the Gas Pump. I used to listen to Rick Archer, and he and Rick, you know, I love him. But in those days, I would hear him do his interviews. I would hear Rick Archer do his interviews at Buddha at the Gas Pump, and he'd say some goofy thing, you know. And I'd go, oh, Rick. you know, or and what I was hearing was Rick, and this is through my filter, of course, but what I was hearing was Rick trying to tell us what Rick knew. You know, oh, so and so had this quote that said this, and then, you know, so and so built on that, and you know, whatever these famous spiritual people and famous spiritual texts, Rick knew them, Rick was able to quote them. And I heard Rick pumping himself up, right? And then when I, and this was a great place for me to practice separation, which is what I was doing, because I was also doing those interviews, right? So it's like, oh, this is how Rick Archer does it. I would never do it that way. But when I was interviewing Mary Reed, I said something like that, and Mary's like, oh my God, you're kidding. She's like, I love Rick Archer. He's so knowledgeable. He's so engaging. He's da da da. And I'm like, oh. And thereafter, I heard, because I had permission to, I guess, or because somebody that I respected had a different opinion, I heard Rick Archer completely differently. And I too was impressed with his breadth of knowledge, his wealth of knowledge, and his ability to call on it on the spot, to know the exact quote, to know who said it, to use it in context, to use it to transition from one thought to the next. I was suddenly very impressed with all of that, when those were the exact qualities that before I was looking at and going, well, I wouldn't do it like that. Look at him puffing himself up. So it's all filtered. It's all the way we choose to use. I choose to use what I find in my experience. And you know, what filter I want to see it through. Anne says she also used to do that with Rick Archer. Yeah, and it's so funny. It's just like a shift, you know. And of course, that's what A Course in Miracles talks about, is a miracle is merely a shift in perception. So it was that, again, it was that that we're being encouraged to do in general healing. It's that what Connie was encouraging us to do last night. It's the difference between looking for the differences and looking for the sameness. Of course, that's what made that opening song so perfect. You know, I thought you were another on a path apart from mine. I'm not quite sure how Darryl Price said it in the song, but something it's about, you know. And then I paused, looked into your eyes, and saw that you were absolutely not only the same as me, but that you are me. And that's the shift that we're being asked to make. And so, after I had said to Regina once, maybe twice, maybe three times, gee, did you hear so-and-so talk and what'd you think, and heard and been shocked to hear her say, oh my God, it was brilliant. I now am very aware when I hear someone else talk of when I'm practicing division, practicing separation, and consciously shift into that sameness, you know, the desire to see the sameness, the oneness, to see myself in my brother. So anyway, apparently I haven't perfected that yet, though, because that's what Inner Wisdom is talking to me about. Let me see if I can pick up where we left off. Oh.
Computer just.
Oh, cute. Yeah, it goes black. Well, and so this is talking about one of the ways to see how you use this concept to further delude yourself is to see that your place on the path and the placers is not static. You manipulate your perception of others and the value of what they relate about their experiences to comport with your own assessment. With your assessment of your own progress at any given point in time. So, you know, after I read today's lesson, I went back and listened to Growing with NTI on the whatever we're on, Philippians. Philippians 3, at that time I was talking about having an experience with a friend where it felt like the friend was picking on me, talking down to me, all that silly stuff, and then finally getting, oh my goodness, you know, that's just what I've projected out there. You know, if I'm not feeling particularly good about myself, everybody's a better teacher than me. If I'm feeling like I'm on top of my game, and not always, but that's when, you know, that's, I'm like, oh, they got that all wrong. Oh, how confused they are. And Ann said, and I mentioned something about this to Ann the other day, and she's like, she said, oh, well, everybody seems confused when you're confused, or when you're, you know, thinking with confusion. I'm like, what the hell? Who is she calling confused, right? But it was very insightful. So yeah, so again, it's my confusion projected. That's all. But Inner Wisdom is pointing out that you know, if I can just see by the variability, in relation to what I'm experiencing. You know, they're either a good teacher or a bad teacher in relation to what I'm experiencing. That's ridiculous. But that variability shows that I'm just manipulating my experience of them based on what I'm feeling about myself, which is also what we looked at today in the review of Philippians 3 that talks about the fact that these feelings are here and they exist within me, and then I look to add substance to those feelings by finding their cause out in the world. The fact is those feelings are there, and then I look out in the world and go, that's it. That's what's causing me to feel fear or less than or better than. But the feelings themselves are there. Inner Wisdom says, be sure that if you're attempting to gauge your progress, you are not experiencing clarity. Which is funny. I mean, what? Right? If I'm even looking at, oh, how am I doing compared to so-and-so, or how am I doing compared to so-and-so, that's absolute separation. Even if I'm not doing it in comparison to anybody, it's, you know, that's ridiculous. Oh, does this need to be different? Or have I hit the nail on the head, right? It's just that judging activity, that very activity, not clarity, that very activity of trying to measure something, not clarity, is confusion. Be sure that if you're attempting to gauge your progress, you are not experiencing clarity. You are not in your right mind. When you find yourself attempting to gauge your progress, remember that clarity is found in this moment. Rest the thinking mind and return your awareness to the experience, the visceral experience of this moment. It's funny, I heard Anne use that term earlier in her teaching, visceral. But I think it's a good term. And I feel like I know why it was expressed in those terms here, because the visceral experience is the experience without the assignment of meaning. You know, and I talked to Dean Slider about this, and you all will hear that in the interview, but it's like, okay, you say you're feeling fear. Well, what? Okay, great. But, you know, already now I've labeled it. I've given it some meaning. So what are you really feeling? Well, I'm feeling a shortness of breath. I feel a contraction in my chest. I feel flutteriness or something in my chest. I mean, it's like even to define it as fear is to attempt to give it some meaning. And once you do that, you know, that's just another layer that you're going to have to get through. So so part of just experiencing what's going on in this moment, part of just being in this moment, is not attempting to label it in any way or to take back the label. Oh, I feel fear. Well, wait a minute. Let's just look at, what does that feel like? And Anne says, it's mental quicksand for me. And then she defines visceral for us, relating to deep inward feelings rather than to the intellect. Oh, my goodness. Good word. You have something you wanted to say? No? But she's like, I didn't do anything.
I'm just sitting here listening.
I just felt like you did. You sure you don't have anything you want to say?
I'm positive. I have to pee. Does that count?
Maybe I heard Regina thinking she had to pee.
Okay, now that everybody knows, I'll go pee.
We'll be right here. Let me take a drink here. So again, rest the thinking mind and return your awareness to the experience, the visceral experience of this moment. Notice how you feel in this moment. Note, I have not asked you to think about how you feel and assign meaning through thought. I am asking you to just experience this moment. If you find fear, feel the fear. Don't attempt to justify your fear by turning to the stories that try to give consistency to the personal self. Just feel the fear until it passes. Then move on to the next emotion and do the same. And it's so funny because we know we weave stories. We know as the character or the personal self, we weave these stories. But it's really fascinating to see how the emotions that we experience seem to lend credence to the saga. Saga was another word that was coming to my mind as I wrote this. But it tends to lend credence to the saga of the personal self. You know, so I feel the fear, and then I try and assign a cause in the world for the fear. Oh, that's right. I must be fearful because I haven't heard from the realtor yet, or they were going over to work on the house today, and I haven't heard anything, and I don't know what they might find, and whether that quote's going to go up, you know, and whatever, right? So it's like the emotions. I want to say like plump up, you know, like. Fill out or color in the stories that we would tell about the life story of the personal character. And we don't, you know, we don't recognize that that we're using emotions to do this, to give that character consistency. Inner Wisdom says, if you find fear, feel the fear. Don't attempt to justify your fear by turning the stories that try and give consistency to the personal self. Just feel the fear until it passes. Then move on to the next emotion and do the same. It is through the experience of emotion without the assigning of meaning that you move from your experience of yourself as a continuing entity to experience of yourself as an empty shell. Your recognition of the process whereby you assign meaning allows you to empty your shell. Wow, and that's a that really hits me. I got chills. How perfect is that? To have that, to just know it, to be able to witness myself looking for justification for what I'm feeling, and to know that's the process. That's the process that keeps the individual self going, right? It's at least part of the process that keeps the individual self going, and that my willingness not to, my recognition of that, and my willingness not to engage in that activity actually empties the shell, actually helps me to let go of my belief in this separate personhood. And Anne says, and it feeds the loop when we keep giving believing attention to the stories tied to the felt emotions. Short writes, atonement means the correct plan to attain forgiveness.
Atonement does mean correction.
Yeah. Anne also finished up her thought, and she said, it feeds the loop when we keep giving believing attention to the stories tied to the felt emotions, as opposed to just feeling the emotions, period. Yeah, just being with them. Yeah. So, I still got a lot of time left, huh? I'm done. So maybe we'll look at some of this this other stuff I wrote. Wait a minute. Okay. Let's see. On August the 8th, I wrote, this was last week, Father, after teaching NTI last night, the question came, who do you think you are kidding? I realize that is ego, but it brought up the seemingly genuine question, what is it that I am not seeing? The experience I shared regarding being done through is a truthful one, but I seem to get hung up because that is not always my experience. I meant to write fooling. I said fooing. Am I fooling myself? What is it I am not seeing? And I said, this is essentially the same question that I asked Regina yesterday. And I realized after I shared, and I shared some about this last night during NTI, and I realized that I was wanting to attribute it to my trip home and being with family and being out of the routine for a week and a half or 2 weeks or however long I was gone, and you know, not having my quiet space and all of that stuff. And yet, after I taught last night, I thought, well, wait a minute, that's not true, because you did, because you came back here and on, you arrived home on Monday, and then on that Wednesday when you did your As It Is program, that was absolutely genuine. You were still having that experience of being done through. So it's, again, it's the same thing. I want to tell a story about it. I want to look at what's going on and go, there's the cause out there, right? But it has to be. What am I giving my believing attention to? And I think it's funny because I'm just now hearing it, but I think when I mentioned this to Regina yesterday, she's like, well, if it happened every time you went home to see family, then we could attribute it to that cause. However, I think it's a little soon to... Funny, I couldn't even hear that, you know, yesterday, but I hear it today. am I seeing foo-foo, Kathy says. So... Yeah, so I said again, the experience I shared regarding being done through is a truthful one. But I seem to get hung up because that is not always my experience. And I'm fooling myself. What is it I'm not seeing? And inner wisdom says, this is but another manifestation of fear. It is the fear that the truth is not true. Your focus on allowance must expand to allow even the doubts about the truth. You can also see that the idea of reward and I am bad are contained within this fear. Who do you think you are translates to you don't deserve to experience the truth. Continue your practice and remember to allow me to guide you. You are blessed child of God. Nothing need be different. Allow that. Go forth in confidence that that which you are is you, and that which tells you are not. Let me try again. Go forth in confidence that which you are is you, and that which tells you you are not is not and cannot be. Funny sentences. And I have been struggling a little bit for the past week or so. But I'm never bereft of guidance, even if I'm not, you know, coming in here and journaling, coming here in here in the study and journaling. I hear the quiet messages. I hear the quiet reminders. I heard the reminder that, you know, you got all distracted by this, hey, who do you think you are? What about the practice that you were having great success with, which is the one that led to the teaching that you're now questioning? But this idea about, you know, nothing needs to be any different. Nothing needs to be any different ever. And whether it's in regard to selling my house, my experience with family, or my quote-unquote progress on the spiritual path, it's perfect. I mean, in fact, that's what I talked about last week. I'm exactly where I need to be. My soul is welcome here, right? I'm in the right place at the right time. Nothing need be different. That seems really powerful. It's got me in tears. But I will move to the next journal entry here. This is on August the 11th, and this is the I'll read to you the thought of awakening for that day. Now is the time to watch your mind. Always the time is now. If you forgot for a while and you notice that you forgot, the time of forgetfulness has passed. And how perfect is that, right? Now is the time now. And now is the time to start watching the mind again. Be grateful for the love and generosity of now. And I will tell you, by the way, that this month's movie for our movie discussion group, Peaceful Warrior, is about all of these things that we're looking at. In fact, in the play sheet, one of the questions I asked was, you know, what does this movie tell us about our relationship to the present moment? And then I also asked about this quote that I'm going to say. So I wrote after the thought of awakening, always the time is now. There is never nothing going on, which is a quote from the movie. There is never nothing going on. What would you share with me? And the answer, we are blessed. We are blessed to see and hear and be in this moment. Because you can only be here now, you can't be some other time or place. The attempt to travel to another time or place in thought is the attempt to experience something that is not. When you find yourself doing so, gently remind yourself that this need not be. And then I asked, what of planning? Byron Katie seems to say that even that is not necessary. Is this so? And if so, how do I be in the world without planning? And the answer, planning is like washing the dishes. If there are dishes to be washed, you wash them. But you need not think about activity before, during, or after washing. You merely be with the activity of washing. The same is true of planning. You simply be with the activity of planning, but you need not think about planning before, during, or after planning. You see how to be before and after, but do not see how to be with what you assumed was an activity of your mind while it is occurring. It is the identification of the activity as yours or as created by you that blocks your sight. You know, and this is, of course, what we've been talking about in, you know, in looking at thoughts in terms of, you know, these are not my thoughts. Regina, as Regina was teaching last night, as Jesus said in A Course in Miracles, you think thoughts. These are not my thoughts. Thoughts are happening. So this activity, this desire to see these thoughts as mine, to see this planning activity as it's being as mine, as it's being done by me, is the block to understand that happening is just happening, that being is just being. It is the identification of the activity as yours or as created by you that blocks your sight. It is rather like breathing. You know how to be with just breathing. Indeed, you are so good at just breathing that most of the time you don't even acknowledge that breathing is occurring. Planning and any and all other actions taken by the thinking mind are just occurring. Recognize that and be with that. When the planning is done, be with the activity that is then occurring. There is never nothing going on There is never nothing going on, but you are not the cause. You are that which witnesses the everything. You are that in which everything occurs. You own nothing. You are everything. Blessings be to you. And I'm reminded again of Paul Hederman, who talks about believing that thoughts are generated by me presupposes the idea that there's a me to generate thoughts. You know, just how that whole process, how misunderstanding that process again invigorates the idea of a separate me. You know, there are separate thoughts, and I know that because I have them. I have them.
I think, therefore I am.
I think, therefore I am. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So it's so I am blessed. I'm blessed to have these things laid out so clearly for me. I'm blessed to have the opportunity to share them with you guys. I can tell you when I write them, I'm like, uh-huh. And then I go on and do whatever I'm going to go on and do. So it's so thank you for the opportunity to hear that the same thing is being said here over and over and over again. Yeah, and just to see how all of these things are connected to the continuing saga of the individual self, and to see how these processes need to be seen through, need to be identified as they're occurring. So that I can quit using those processes to build and maintain this idea of me as separate from anything, not only separate from my brother, but separate from all occurrences. Oh, sweet Anne. Allowing the undoing is a very powerful space to inhabit with you, Jacqueline. Yeah, that's lovely. Yeah, Cheryl, if you want to sum this out, that'd be awesome. I love you guys, and I'll see you next time.
It's gonna be a bright.